It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Family Life News anchor Sarah Harnish. Your wait is over. We're going to have a high of 79 by Friday with just 44 days until summer break. New Yorkers say bring it on. They are done with winter. 100 cities had measurable snow on the ground a week ago.
I'm looking forward to actually being able to walk out, be out and about, you know, explore the area. Really enjoy some barbecue over there. There's always a bunch of people out, people with their dogs, just walking around.
Syracuse winters can be kind of dreary, so it's good to just finally be able to come back outside.
It's been nearly four straight months of rain, snow, flurries, wind, and storms. Every day this week, the weather gets warmer and the sun peaks out. Kevin has your forecast coming up in a few minutes. Flight canceled? The White House is poised to propose new protections for stranded airline passengers. They'll apply if your flight is canceled or delayed. Family Life's Bob Price has this story.
Yes, Sarah, the push comes just weeks ahead of the summer travel season. President Biden wants to require airlines to compensate passengers by covering meals and hotel rooms, as well as the cost of rebooking another flight with a different airline if they're stranded for reasons within the airline's control. Now, it would be the first time that air carriers would be required to pay compensation beyond a ticket refund. Southwest canceled 17,000 flights in December and another 1,000 this spring because of outdated technology. Air carriers say tech issues and staffing shortages are making it hard to get on their feet post-pandemic, and a Biden mandate would make it even more difficult. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Some of the shock is wearing off for shoppers who witnessed a mass shooting at an outlet mall in Allen, Texas over the weekend. Among them, Joshua Barnwell, who tells CBS Mornings this.
The massive rapid gunfire began to occur, and at that point, I just shy of threw my friend behind a concrete pillar and got behind there myself.
Police say eight people were killed and seven hurt before they took down that gunman. It is the second worst U.S. shooting this year. The gunman had a patch on his clothing that represented the right-wing death squad. In New York City.
Hey guys, can you make room for her, please?
Eugene Carroll has just arrived at a U.S. district court where jurors are set to hear closing arguments in the civil case against former President Trump. Carroll accuses him of assaulting her in a department store fitting room. Trump says it never happened. Here's legal contributor Rebecca Royfe.
This is going to come down to whom the jury believes, which party the jury thinks is lying. I mean, it's quite as simple as that.
Donald Trump chose not to testify. Do you have a COVID test laying around? Go check the brand. If you do, the FDA is recalling SD Biosensor's pilot kits over concerns of bacterial contamination. There have been no reports of adverse reactions or deaths. They were sold at CVS and on Amazon. Burger King just announced the chain will close up to 400 locations by the end of 2023, even though sales are up. The CEO says they plan to work with smaller Burger King franchises to improve the overall health of the system. Don't believe what you read online. The Federal Housing Finance Agency trying to clear up some confusion for potential home buyers after some misleading information about mortgage rates went viral on social media over the weekend. The FHFA changed its pricing model in January, and under the new rules, buyers with higher credit scores would see their upfront fees increase, while buyers with lower credit scores would see their upfront fees slashed by nearly half. The FHFA says it may sound bad when simplified online and social media, but if you actually look at the numbers, a buyer with a higher credit score would still be paying much less in fees. Have you been putting away money for later?
Almost half of baby boomers have no retirement savings.
I'm retiring.
Only 58% of 55 to 64-year-olds have retirement accounts, and in the private sector, 57 million Americans have no options to save for retirement.
That's reporter Jennifer Clark. A Christian foundation is giving out 10 awards today to American journalists who cover the news news from a Christian worldview.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's always going to be a Christian article, but that we tell the story of the world as it is, not as we wish it to be, and we can pull out redemptive threads that are reflective of God and his presence in the world.
Here's Katie Galtney with Zenger House.
Journalism is a troubled industry right now, and part of that has to do with factors like economics. Part of it has to do with culture, the polarization. I mean, it's true that people want to stay within their echo chambers, and it can be hard to read things that challenge them.
The journalists being honored today were cited for their work on everything from capital punishment to poverty to escaping the Taliban in Afghanistan. Galtney says her goal is to reward reporting that's no longer prioritized by the mainstream media. And just call him King Charles III. Millions of people watched the coronation of the British King, which wrapped up last night in England with a huge concert attended by the royal family. What a weekend. No one does decorum and pageantry like the Brits.
God save the king!
This American reporter broke character on live TV as the parade motorcade went by.
And you can hear the deafening cheers around me. That was pretty exciting. I think I just made eye contact with King Charles.
Some pieces on parade had not been seen in 70 years since the crowning of Queen Elizabeth. Still to come on the Noon Report, teenagers that hiked 22 miles with strollers avoid an interstate in Pennsylvania today and $10 million in college scholarships. Those stories and more after a check of weather with Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. A nice underway today, and after a bump in the road for some later tonight and early tomorrow, the rest of the week shapes up quite well. Forecast details are up in 10.
Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. Steps for safety. Students at Cleveland High School in Buffalo spent Sunday walking for a law that they want to see passed in New York State that would protect children from abusive parents in child custody cases. It's based off the story of 2-year-old Kira Franchetti, who was killed by her dad in 2016 while her parents were going through a divorce. The law would mandate justices consider past accusations of abuse or domestic violence when deciding if a parent or guardian gets visitation rights. Hundreds of high schoolers showed up to an event Sunday to walk 23 miles with strollers to garner support for that law.
It shouldn't take tragedy to work to save children's lives. And that's why we're here today, because we have a voice and we're using it for those who don't.
Similar events took place Sunday in Albany and Long Island. The event was sponsored by Cura's Champions, a New York student advocacy organization.
Kira Franchetti, who was killed in 2016 as one of these cases. And Cura's law would basically require mandate training for judges and evaluators in child custody cases.
There is bipartisan support for that law. It's one of the most heavily traveled interstates in Pennsylvania. Thousands of cars use I-81 between Wilkes-Barre and Scranton, PA. But taking the interstate could cost you today. PennDOT says it needs to fix a joint on a bridge that takes Interstate 81 north over Main Avenue in Dixon City. So 81 North becomes one lane. Today, that area affected is between exit 190 and 191B. This traffic reporter says avoid 81.
If you choose to exit here in Dixon City, the alternate route takes you through a commercial area and some high traffic roads. So you just might want to stay on 81 and deal with a potential backup. Of course, you can bypass 81 entirely and take the Pennsylvania Turnpike. The project here is scheduled to wrap up by 3:30 this afternoon.
It only affects 81 North. Big upgrades are coming to Beaver Stadium on the campus of Penn State University in University Park, Pennsylvania. On Friday, the Board of Trustees approved the first phase of a $700 million renovation. Penn State also wants to winterize Beaver Stadium, making it a viable option for things like concerts, outdoor hockey games, and outdoor events. If everything goes right, construction will begin after the 2024 football season. The Pennsylvania Senate is proposing legislation to build safeguards around kids' social media use. The bill was born out of an increasing concern over the impact technology is having on the mental health of youth. It requires parental consent for minors under the age of 16 to open a social media account. The legislation also allows parents to sue social media companies companies for harm done to their child. Senator Chuck Schumer sent a warning to Republicans about the debt ceiling over the weekend. New York senior senator says if Republicans don't raise the limits of what America can spend, it will hurt senior citizens' Social Security checks.
Anything less than a clean package is irresponsible, but it's also dangerous. Dangerous to the millions of seniors who depend on these checks for their rent, their food, their mortgage.
America set to run out of borrowing power as soon as June 1st. Republicans say it's irresponsible to continue living on more than you make. New York's wrongful death law is under the microscope. Good government groups sent a letter today to state lawmakers that will be released in a few hours. The governor wants to reject the proposal, which would clarify when the law would take effect, place limits on when damages can be recovered, and create a shorter statute of limitations. After a rewrite of some wording, Senator Brad Hoylman-Segal says he's responded to the governor's concerns that the bill does not do enough for people of color, children, seniors, and New Yorkers with disabilities, and he's confident that it will pass this session. It's going down nationwide, but gas prices don't seem to be dropping much in New York or Pennsylvania. AAA says the average price of gas in both states is $3.68 a gallon. It fell 7 cents the last week nationwide, but didn't drop a penny here. Buffalo, $3.71, Batavia, $3.64, Rochester, $3.74. The good news is a year ago, you were paying $4.50 for a gallon of gasoline. Environmental Protection says 30% of the water in the Keystone State is too polluted to drink.
It's one of those things where we need to make sure that we prioritize it now so we continue to ensure we have clean water.
A new study out, Michael Mirazar is the campaign manager with Penn Future. He says the biggest pollutants in Pennsylvania water are pesticide from farms, stormwater in cities, and coal mine runoff.
You have a farm that has excess fertilizer or manure that is not managed properly, that runs off. In a lot of urban areas, you have stormwater issues where the runoff goes into the waterways, and then acid mine drainage, where you have the legacy pollution from coal mines.
He organized a news conference in the rotunda of the state capitol and called on lawmakers to provide more funding to clean the water. A firefighter in Pennsylvania was just honored for 50 years of service. Joe Plata has spent half a century as a volunteer for the Ida Town Fire Department. He's done every job from commanding at fires to maintenance in the fire station. Plata says he deserves nothing.
That's just something I always enjoyed, helping people. In my family, we've done it for generations.
Joe Blaine is the current fire department chief.
It's hard to get volunteers as it is, and to have somebody that's been here for 50 years, it's an honor to serve with them. Being a fire chief and him being a former fire chief, he's taught me a lot.
It was a packed house in Lehman, Pennsylvania, as the town showed up for Joe Plata. The Golisano Autism Center partnered with students from the Charles Dyson School of Applied Economics and Management at Cornell University to hold a supply drive over the weekend for kids with autism. They collected books, toys, non-perishable food, office supplies, toiletries, and clothes. And the whole thing was run by college kids.
We want to make sure that people understand that this is always something you can do, and whether that be in the community you're in or reaching out to another community. It's very important to connect our values with what we are very passionate about, and this is sort of our way of connecting our passion with our purpose.
Even though the drive was on Sunday, you can still donate. Go to GolisanoAutismCenter.org. And Cornell University in the news a second time today after a high schooler who broke records with a number of college acceptance letters made his highly anticipated choice last night. Dennis Barnes is Ivy League bound. He's heading to Cornell University in Ithaca this fall. The 16-year-old graduates from the International High School of New Orleans on May 24th after collecting over $10 million in college scholarships. That's a U.S. record.
The future is so bright for this kid. I can't imagine having that many people court you. I mean, that's better than the pro league going after you, you know?
And look at him already, 16. He's taken to the podium, taken to the mic.
That's
he is a master. Imagine what he's going to do, man. Good for him. And we welcome you here in New York when you head this way.
He'll study computer science at Cornell. Dennis Barnes received scholarship offers from 149 colleges and universities. Time now for a check of sports with our own Randy Snavely. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Sarah, the Philadelphia 76ers have evened things up with the Boston Celtics after a thrilling 116-115 overtime win. James Harden hit the go-ahead three-pointer with 20 seconds to play in the OT, and it held up. Harden finished with a game-high 42 points. Joel Embiid had 34 and 13 rebounds. Game 5 tomorrow night in Boston. The Phoenix Suns even things up in their series with Denver 129-124. The Phoenix Suns also even things up in their series with Denver 129-124 despite a huge night from the Nuggets' Nikola Jokic. He had 53 points in the loss. On the ice, Florida now up 3-0 over the Maple Leafs with a 3-2 win. The Hurricanes had their series lead cut in half, falling to New Jersey 8-4. The Kraken went up 2-1 after handing Dallas a 7-2 spanking. To baseball, the Yankees had a 6-run lead and their ace on the mound, but Garrett Cole could not hold down the best team in the bigs. Tampa Bay came back to win it 8-7 in 10 innings. Both Rizzo and Bader went deep for the Yanks. Cleveland shut out Minnesota 2-0. Seattle beat Houston 3-1. KC downed the A's 5-1. And the Rangers walloped the Angels 16-8. In the National League, the Mets dropped the rubber game of their series, falling to the Rockies 13-6. The Marlins 1-14, 5-4 over the Cubs. Milwaukee 7-3 winners against the Giants. The Nats edge Arizona 9-8. And the Dodgers 1-10 over San Diego 5-2. Interleague play, the Phillies beat Boston 6-1. The Braves edge Baltimore 3-2 and 10. Toronto pounded the Pirates 10-1. Cards got three home runs from Paul Goldschmidt and beat Detroit 12-6. And it was all White Sox as they beat up Cincinnati 17-4. And in NASCAR, Denny Hamlin took the checkered flag in Kansas City. That is a look at sports.
Still to come on the Noon Report, cash at the airport if you get stranded, the dog show underway, and 90 and skydiving tips from an Army veteran. Those stories are next. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Breakpoint listeners, Olson Center National Conference online registration is open. Use promo code Breakpoint to get $5 off the $49 ticket price. You can experience all the main stage talks, breakouts, and panel discussions from our annual Christian Worldview Conference at your own leisure. Visit ColsonCenter.org for full event details and registration. And remember, use promo code Breakpoint at checkout.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Is pain good or is pain bad? That was the question asked recently by physician and author Matthew Loftus in an essay entitled Arcs of Life that was published over at the New Atlantis. Loftus makes the case that the contemporary obsession with avoiding pain has led to an increasing acceptance of doctor-assisted suicide and euthanasia, even for infants and for those suffering with mental distress. Our approach to pain amounts to, Loftus says, eliminating suffering by killing the sufferer. The appeal is made mostly to our collective commitment to autonomy. Quote, the euthanasia regime begins with a pitch to the smartest among us. Wouldn't you like to go out before the party winds down? Before age and decrepitude shatter the autonomy and strength you cherish so deeply? Medical technology should pursue that end, and compassion is redefined as whatever reduces or prevents pain and suffering. And that would include, if it serves that end, ending the life of a baby in utero to help a mom or assisting an elderly person who is suffering to end their life. However, argues Loftus, the zeal to create a pain-free utopia undermines three things for which it strives. First, autonomy is undermined. Abortion obviously ends the decision-making potential of a child in utero who may, if given the chance, choose to live. Autonomy at the end of life is also increasingly compromised for certain members of a population, often in the name of preserving it wherever assisted suicide has been embraced. The commitment to alleviate pain is a second reality undermined when it becomes an end rather than a means of medicine. Abortion is a clear example of this, as Loftus writes, quote, long before the third trimester, a fetus will withdraw from an instrument and release stress hormones in response to medical procedures in the womb. Reactions like these are often chalked up to simple reflexes you might see if you manage to tickle a baby in utero. And yet, if fetal surgery that is meant to save the life of a child is performed, anesthesia is given without fail. But if you're killing the child at the same gestational age, medical authorities assure us that the procedure is painless. Also, the commitment to eliminate pain at any cost, though often sold to us in the name of compassion, ultimately undermines compassion. The sheer numbers of those who are killed by abortion and euthanasia suggest that what we often call a commitment to compassion is in reality a commitment to convenience. The only real solution, Loftus argues, is to commit ourselves instead to a different vision of human life, one that sees it as beginning and ending in a natural arc and throughout possesses incalculable value. We must also reckon with the idea of dependency, that we are all born dependent. We will all die dependent. We remain dependent on others throughout our lives. Acknowledging that reality will lead us to true compassion. Ignoring it will lead us to killing the suffering instead of caring for them. We should also recognize that pain and suffering are neither synonymous nor are they accurate metrics of human value. We have the technology to manage physical pain, and God has tasked us with providing comfort to those who are dying and living with pain and mental suffering. Whenever we do that, we act like Jesus. Indeed, in the days ahead, it may be that this will be the church's most powerful witness to Christ Jesus. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
I'm Family Life News anchor Sarah Harnish. Let's get a check of the weather with Kevin Williams.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast. The week ahead looks dry and fair. For the afternoon, the call is for a good deal of sunshine. High temperatures in the 60s and near 70, cooling near the Great Lakes. For tonight, partly cloudy in New York State, but ending up cloudy in Pennsylvania. Later tonight, into tomorrow morning, there'll be a few showers in parts of Pennsylvania, focusing on areas near and south of I-80. Otherwise, dry across New York State. Low temperatures tonight, 40s. High temperatures tomorrow, mostly 60s. But then on Wednesday, ample sunshine with high temperatures in the 60s to near 70.
Thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report on Family Life, and I'm your host, Sarah Harnish. Here's what's happening this Monday afternoon, the 8th of May. President Biden will speak on airline accountability later today. The White House proposing rule changes to compensate passengers for flight delays and cancellations. Airlines would be required to offer compensation beyond refunds for controllable flight cancellations or significant delays. Cash in your hand and possibly a voucher to use at a different airline if you're stranded in the future. There's grief, outrage, and a lot of questions after the mall shooting that left 8 people dead. Stephen Spainer went to the scene in Texas after getting a call from his son who is nearby.
It was a war zone there. There's no way these people could have survived the assault of those weapons.
At least one of the weapons was an AR-15 style rifle. Police are now trying to determine the motive for the attack.
The shooter had a patch on his clothing that said RWDS, and they believe that stands for Right Wing Death Squad, associated with extremists and right-wing neo-Nazi groups. But investigators also say that they're trying to see if he may have been associated with the cartel or prison gangs.
More than a half a dozen others were injured. 1,500 Marines stationed in North Carolina will be deployed to the southwestern border this week. The move comes as the U.S. prepares for an influx of immigrants when Title 42 expires on Thursday. The troops will assist U.S. Customs and Border Control with a number of duties, including data entry, warehouse support, and along with additional detection and monitoring. The nationwide writer's strike is now in its second week. The work stoppage by thousands of members of the Writers Guild of America impacted its first awards show Sunday night. The MTV Movie and TV Awards aired as a pre-taped show rather than the initially planned live ceremony from Santa Monica. And today is the 147th annual Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show in Queens. Mark Mayfield takes us there.
Thousands of dogs representing more than 200 breeds will compete Monday and Tuesday before the event wraps up with the ultimate prize of Best in Show. It will all take place at the USTA Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in Flushing, marking the first time that the show is going to be held at the home of the U.S. Open. I'm Mark Mayfield.
This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues that matter most to our public schooling families with Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute in beautiful Houghton, New York. Well, Ralph, welcome back to the program, sir. I hope you had a wonderful weekend enjoying that spring-like weather out there.
Yeah, it was really nice, and my grass is showing the results of the spring weather, however.
Can't keep up with it. It grows fast this time of year. But, hey, we've got a number of items to discuss this week. We'll try to get through them as best we can. We'll begin with this one, the school budget vote in New York. Hard to believe, Ralph, it is just a week away, Tuesday, May 16th. Typically, less than 10% of voters will take part in that school budget vote. I know that's something that has always kind kind of saddened you. We'll ask right off the bat here, why is that, and what do you think it's going to take to bump those numbers up?
Well, I think part of the problem is that people think that, you know, my vote doesn't really change anything. It doesn't really matter, so why bother? I think also the fact that there's no early voting. There is absentee voting, but no early voting. So unless you make the extra effort to get out on voting day, Tuesday, May 16th, you just don't have an opportunity to vote.
Yeah.
But I can't say enough about how important it is for people to get out. Board members look at and have final say on all the curriculum and textbooks. And I know that that's a real concern in many districts right now. And also the hiring of all personnel. So your vote does make a difference. And please get out and vote next Tuesday, May 16th.
Now, the polls are open, I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, noon to 8, or is it different in each district?
Yeah, it varies all over the lot. So if you're in doubt about it, just call the district office and ask what time the polls are open.
All right. All this week, it's National Teacher Appreciation Week, and I'm not just bragging on teachers because I married one, but we have so many wonderful teachers that really feel called to this profession. Sometimes, you know, I say we focus so much on the policy. We get so lost in the trees, we can't see the forest. But there's so many teachers that are doing the work day in and day out to train up these children. What are some of the biggest challenges that are facing teachers in school right now?
Well, it used to be that if you were a teacher, you taught A, B's, and C's and math and that material. Now there's really a necessity, unfortunately, because of the breakdown of families, that teachers also are mental health supporters, they're counselors, they're role models, and in some cases, they're even parents.
Mm.
But I want to focus on just quickly giving you some attributes of really good teachers. And as I was preparing this, I thought, yep, those are the kind of people that I had as teachers. They have compassion. There's a passion for learning and the children themselves, an understanding of the circumstances that the different students come from. And they have patience. They need to be really good communicators and a willingness to put in the effort. Mm-hmm. And I want to just pause to salute every single public school teacher today, because we're celebrating their work this week as we celebrate National Teacher Appreciation Week.
All right. Hats off to all of you, and you know who you are. One final question, Ralph, we'll let you go. There was a report last week that showed just 13% of eighth graders in this country are proficient in history. I mentioned this because history was my favorite class. We called it social studies back then. I just loved history, but sadly, it's kind of gone by the wayside. A lot of people are saying that it's because there's just not as much attention on civics at school these days, Ralph. What do you think is to blame for those abysmal history scores?
Well, I'm afraid the people that say that are correct. I mean, I think, again, part of what I mentioned that teachers are responsible for just takes away from some of the teaching that they really want to do. And also, as you well know, nationwide, we've got some other stuff that's being forced into the curriculum.
Mm.
Civics are really important, but it's amazing to me. Sometimes when I see people that have graduated from our schools talk about civics, they have no idea. If you ask them who the governor is or what the capital of New York or Pennsylvania is, they couldn't tell you any of that, let alone tell you anything from a historical standpoint about our country.
Yeah.
It's time that our children knew that. And I encourage schools to get back to teaching civics because they need it.
All right. If you don't know your history, boy, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. And we have such a rich history in this country. I agree. We need to teach civics a little more in school these days. Well, hey, Ralph, we've been a lot of places the past 5 minutes. If folks have questions about any of the topics they've heard today, you have a wonderful website where they can go and check you out. What is that, Ralph?
Whyrun.org, whyrun.org.
Issues in Education airs on Mondays during the Noon Report. You can listen again online anytime at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The week is off to a nice start, and some more nice weather is ahead after a little bump on the road. We've got an area of low pressure, a little disturbance, and it'll slide south across the region later tonight, early tomorrow. That'll spread a few showers into parts of Pennsylvania. Other than that, the week ahead looks dry and fair. Before the afternoon, the call is for a good deal of sunshine, high temperatures in the 60s and near 70, cooler near the Great Lakes. For tonight, partly cloudy in New York State, but ending up cloudy in Pennsylvania. Later tonight into tomorrow morning, there'll be a few showers in parts of Pennsylvania, focusing on areas near and south of I-80. Otherwise, dry across New York State. Low temperatures tonight, 40s. High temperatures tomorrow, mostly 60s. But then on Wednesday, ample sunshine with high temperatures in the 60s to near 70.
Hey, we'll take it. 70 sounds better than 40s. Finally, at noon, living his best life. An Army veteran is diving into the next chapter of his life, celebrating his 90th birthday with a skydive. 90-year-old Bronny Cox walks 10,000 steps a day, lifts weights, and now jumps from a plane for fun. He used to be in the Army and trained paratroopers for the 82nd Airborne in the Korean War.
I got out of the Army in 1954. I made 38 jumps altogether. I made 12 night jumps.
Recently, he suited up one more time for a skydiving trip in Colorado.
I jumped out of airplanes so damn many times that it was nothing to me.
One downside to jumping at 90 versus jumping at 25, wrinkles.
The wind was so strong that it felt like it just peeling the skin off your face.
You can't discredit the effects of aging on a good jump out of an airplane at 12,000 feet. Last year, he celebrated his 89th birthday ziplining over a 1,200-foot gorge.
And I was never afraid of heights or nothing, and I was always a little bit crazy. The kids all chipped in and bought my ticket and everything. And that was the best thing that they could have ever bought me.
If you're feeling a little old and a little run down today, he has some advice for you.
If you don't enjoy life, let yourself go. You end up being a grumpy old man.
You don't want that now, do you? The message from 90-year-old Bronny Cox, you are never too old to do hard things. And that is the world that we live in for Monday, the 8th of May. I'm Sarah Harnish, and this is the Noon Report on Family Life.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.